I am definitely a black sheep. I don't believe that sales is a numbers game unless you treat people like numbers. I think if you're hearing a bunch of no's, it's not building your resilience. There's something off with your strategy. And I wouldn't get excited because a yes is coming. It's probably another no, because you need to fix your strategy.
How's been your closing ratio lately?
Man, I've been chasing no's. I'm telling you that for sure.
If you're selling your own service, you have these longer term client relationships. And so you want to make sure that somebody's going to be a good client, because nightmare clients drain way more time and energy than having no clients.
For people that create content, they think the content is going to be doing the selling. Yes, at some point, you know, it will help you get there, but it's also necessary to have these conversations and choosing the right people to work with, especially if you are a service provider, right?
Conversations create opportunities. How do you, in your world, create opportunities?
My only goal from those calls is for everyone to leave feeling amazing. That's all I want.
We've got some fresh new young
Hey, I'm Luis.
And this is Luis.
And welcome to the Content before. Is Profit One, podcast.
Two, in here, you're going to get the insights, accountability, and drive to create consistently and increase revenue.
You'll hear from top entrepreneurs, creators, and anything and everything you need to know about content. All this while having a good time.
The goal of this podcast is simple. Entertain, educate, and turn your content into profit. Let's go. There we go.
I got it this time. Kevin was my practice round. Anyway, guys, welcome back to Content is Profit today. Super stoked for the personal comms. If you're enjoying these shows, go ahead and follow it in your favorite podcasting platform and on social media at BizBrosCo.
That is right. If today's guest help you move one step closer towards closing your next sale, please don't forget to share this episode and, of course, give a 5-star review. Thank you.
Yes, so our guest today has a super talent that she gets everybody to tell her the deeper secrets.
That we lack.
That we lack, yeah. But yeah, making money out of calls. He is a successful mother of two beautiful children. She launched a couple of businesses, which is really impressive, and she's helped more than 100 entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell you what, she has an incredible method of selling, which we cannot wait to dive deep into this conversation today. At least that's what I have in my
head.
Fun
fact, we're going through the people that she's helped, her case studies, and one of those guys has tried to sell us, and he was really good, and you know,
it
we became good friends.
It was the hardest no that we had at the time.
It was the hardest no.
We had no money. Like, we literally have negative money right now, so if we had, it would have been a yes.
So, but you know, to learn, go to the masters of the masters. So, I'm excited for today's conversation.
Guys, with that said, please welcome our dear friend, an entrepreneur, Alicia Barr. Let's go.
Welcome, Alicia. Oh, look at the dance moves. Yep. How are you doing, Alicia?
Good. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm pumped up.
I felt really judged by your looks when I was doing the intro, but it's okay.
No, I was like, this is like a radio show. They're like two hosts, like cutting it up and shit. Like, I just haven't seen that. Oh, wait, am I allowed to swear?
That's totally okay.
You're allowed to be yourself, Alicia.
Yeah. I feel like I've been swearing so much lately. Like, I'm just like really getting too comfortable.
Too comfortable.
Why do you think that is?
I think I've just been out of corporate too long. And I'm like, this is me.
Let's go. I love it. We talked a lot about the value of personality. And you know what? If that is what helps you transmit that energy to the person that you're communicating. It's all fair game.
Yeah, Alicia, when I saw your presentation at Capshavian's Live, right, and you know, you've been involved with, you know, placing people in sales teams and teaching this incredible method and relationship first, right, and you know, you're responsible for many dollars that move from one pocket to the other pocket, right, and all ethical and really good, and I mean, may I add ethical, because you know,
that's good. Yeah.
It's important.
Yes, very important, and I resonated a ton, right, and you know, you recently rebranded to a name that I'll let you, you know, share that story a little bit. And it resonated so much. And I'm like, oh, that's super cool. That's a person that I want to be, you know, close to, involved with, you know, work with at some point, hopefully. And I'm like, I think she's a very good fit for this, right? We're trying to connect content to profit. And without your method or what you do, it's really hard to connect those two. So you want to share a little bit of, you know, what you do and kind of how you help people?
Yeah. So I created the Black Sheep Sales Method because if it's a fit, it's a fact, and there's no selling involved. And I am definitely a black sheep. I don't believe that sales is a numbers game unless you treat people like numbers. I think if you're hearing a bunch of no's, it's not building your resilience. There's something off with your strategy. Like, you shouldn't be hearing that many no's. And I wouldn't get excited because a yes is coming. It's probably another no because you need to fix your strategy. And I don't think you need to be outgoing or charming to be good at sales. Actually being a pattern interrupt, somebody who's just genuinely listening and asking questions and maybe even quiet or introverted is going to build more trust. So there's just a long list of reasons why I'm very different. And what I do, you asked how I helped people. I understand someone's offer inside and out, and then I create the words, the questions, the structure that allows them to convert 8 out of 10 sales conversations.
Oh boy, hold on.
I like that. 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Do you like that? How's been your closing ratio lately?
Man, I've been chasing no's. I'm telling you that for sure. I mean,
I like, but
on paper, it's not a no. Like, okay.
You got to offer perspective on the chasing no. What does that mean?
Yes. We'll share that in a second. But hey, there's no no yet. No no's yet. I think the decision-making process is being a little bit too long. Maybe we can debrief some of that live in the show. But the decision. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm navigating those conversations to help people make a decision on yes or no. And if it's a no, how can we help them, right? There's different levels of how we can help people.
Sales therapy right here. I love it.
I know, sales therapy. This is why we brought you, Alicia, you know, so we don't have to pay the thousands of dollars that you charge. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, chasing the no's, I mean, that was a stage in our business, right? And I'll share this super transparent, like that we were struggling to sell the service, and it's, you know, a high ticket service. And we're at a point where we had to pay these loans and there were bills coming and a couple people canceled and we're like, crap, like there's no money, right? And we're like, okay, we have to shift a little bit of the perspective to increase speed of communications that we're doing this. So we were chasing the yes, and every single no that was coming into our table was kind of like a hit to the emotion, to the ego, to the guts, to where, like, are we really selling like a solution that people really need and want? And it was like all this like talk in our heads, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to if they're in this environment. So the shift that we made at the time that really helped us kind of
have more conversations
and shift it, and eventually it worked to save us at the time, was like, instead of chasing the yes, we're just gonna go have conversations and chase the no. So we started having an internal competition of who could get more no's initially, and that and that started with okay, well, you know, the conversation now is more of an education base. We're learning more from that conversation. And if it's a no, it might be a not fit for now, but maybe for later, which it turned out to be for a few people. But it also helped us find the yes faster. So that's the context on that side, right? And again, we're not sales experts. You know, we're providing a production solution to some people. And, you know, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way. So I'm super stoked to hear, obviously, your black sheep method and how it helps people. You know, you mentioned things like sales is not a numbers game, right? Don't get excited about the no's. So what really got us out of that hole was getting excited about the no's. So I'm super interested, like, why do you say that?
Well, so a lot of times sales experts say to get excited about the no's because it means that a yes is coming. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that is a way to overcome proactively somebody being like, this strategy doesn't work. So they're like, you know, able to not be seen as someone who has a bad sales strategy because they're like, oh yeah, this is like totally normal. You just hear a ton of no's.
Yeah.
So what you're talking about is a little different because you're saying it was a no instead of a let me think about it or a maybe, right?
Yeah, it was more of like, can we get it? Almost like speed up the decision-making process in a sense and finding out why the no, because that will give us a ton of information on how to improve our conversation or even our product, right?
But
it's
also a way to just have more conversations because the fear of getting no's, this is me more personal, right? At the same time, was keeping me from doing outreach, right? From talking to people in a way, right? It's like, oh man, I'm just going to get, we're going to get a no.
Yes. So that is also why sales experts say to do it, because it builds resilience and you're not scared of the no anymore. So with cold outreach, yeah, it's a little different. there are so many ways to generate leads, and cold outreach isn't the only way.
Yeah.
So you can do it with networking or with the strategy that you guys have recently found with podcasting, or you can do it with a workshop. So I think there's a, if you're getting a lot of no, there are ways to build resilience that aren't just getting a ton of no's, because it's a pretty discouraging way to go about it.
Yeah.
It definitely is one of the ways. There's just a pretty high expense, and that is like your confidence and self-esteem.
Yeah.
Eventually you do get resilient, but resilience is important. I just think there are other ways to do it, and there's no reason to force someone to do the way of outreach that the majority of people find the most uncomfortable. Like, I think like you can just find something that works for you instead of the thing that everybody says you should do.
Oh, I love it. We're like in the same frequency, by the way, because we say that's our messaging content, right? Find your own process, make sure that we're staying consistent, that you enjoy it. And I'll lead this question with an example. When I was managing a fitness studio, we had about 1,000 members, right? So our goals were to sell 100 plus memberships every single month. And these are $159 memberships that we were competing against people that thought that, you know, they were going to go to a regular $10 month gym to come versus our studio, right? So it was the pitch and the conversation was very different, you know, from our perspective to like a $10, you know, regular gym. So sales process started really when the interest was happening, and we had to build this relationship ahead of time to then when they walked into the studio, we could provide a great experience for them. And then it was a no brainer where we can show the value of that. So, you know, that was a, you know, those were 3 years of my life where I really appreciate, because I saw that's where I personally built my resilience with the no's and the conversations and started to understand the sales process is not just when you have the sales conversation, it starts way before, right? So I'm assuming that to get 8 out of 10 sales is something similar. Can you walk us through a little bit of that process? And what do you recommend people start doing way before they actually have a conversation where they can complete the sale?
Yeah, so the whole approach for the Black Sheep, the foundation of the Black Sheep sales method is if it's a fit, it's a fact. So that means talking to the right people. So a lot of times people will get scared that they're going to get less sales by filtering out people who are not a good fit, but you end up getting more sales because if you're just talking to anybody who will talk to you, you start to dread it.
Yeah.
And it seems like a time suck. It's exhausting. It's draining. You're not looking forward to that call. And the other person can feel that. So you're not quality for the quality leads. So when you're really clear about who is a fit, then you can be super excited for the call because you know that person is a fit. So I always say to talk about who you get results for and who you do not get results for. Mm. So for example, I was talking to somebody yesterday who does events. He helps people with event design, but he doesn't help sell tickets. It's really about retention. So when he's talking in his marketing, it's like if you're looking to sell new tickets and you don't care about retention and repeat customers, this is not for you. So everybody knows and everybody feels good about it. And he doesn't have to worry about somebody coming in and then being upset that they didn't sell a bunch of new tickets, right? And then also sending a form with some questions ahead of time is going to make a huge difference. And a lot of times people are like, oh, what if they don't fill out the form? Like, it really lowers the amount of people that book calls. And if they can't take 5 minutes to fill out a form, then they're probably going to be a bad client. Yeah. So, and I'm talking about just service providers. Like, if you're selling a little widget or something, like, obviously that stuff's different. Yeah. I wouldn't be taking sales calls for a widget. But if you're selling your own service, you have these longer term client relationships. And so you want to make sure that somebody's going to be a good client, because nightmare clients drain way more time and energy than having no clients.
Yeah.
So you really want to avoid those. Like, some money is not better than no money.
Yeah.
So, and the questions that you ask on the form, you want them to kind of sell you a little bit too. Like, what are you looking for support with? In your case, you could say, what are you looking for support with? Creating a podcast that nurtures long-term relationships with buyers. Or repurposing my content so all I need to do is show up for an hour a week and I'm visible on all platforms. You know, you'd be able to like kind of position yourself in a way that gets the other person excited too as they're going through the set of form.
This is so cool. I'm going to walk you through something that I did that it was like a no-no. Like when I did, I was like, crap, I screwed this up 100%. And it's obviously, you know, we have two sides of the business. We have the agency side, which is, you know, the things that we've been able to grow with the podcast relationships and how we're doing that. And then last year we ended up buying a brick and mortar business, which is a podcast studio where we sit right now. So they're two different models that we're shaping to be part of the same flow in a way, but they're also very different clientele, right? Like for the agency side, it's people that know their message, that have an offering, that maybe have a following already, that have been consistent, that they're trying to leverage more of the content that they're already producing, versus on the studio, we get a lot of people that never been around content, that they have an idea on like, oh, I would love to start a podcast. They're very like independent podcasters, not many businesses, right? So different type of customer. And we received this call in the studio. It was like late on a Friday, right? And I returned the phone call to this lead and I start asking them questions on the phone. And I was not in the right environment to have that conversation. I was in my car. And I was like, I need to respond to these people as soon as possible. And we're having this conversation and we're not open on Saturdays or Sundays. And the only time that they could come to the studio was either a Saturday or a Sunday. And in my head, I made an exception of like, okay, I'll come in tomorrow and we'll sit down for the studio tour and we'll walk through kind of like the process that we have and learn more about you. And I opened the studio. And for that, me personally meant I had to find a sitter for my kids or somebody that could take care of them so I could come in for a couple hours, do that. That was problem solved. I'm like, well, this could be, according to what they say, could be an interesting person to have in the studio. Make it here to the studio on Saturday. And the time for the tour comes. They're not showing. I give them a call to see where they are, if they need help with the address and whatnot. Somebody responds like, oh, by the way, we're not going to be able to make it today. And I flipped out. I was like, I said in my mind things that I cannot say here on the podcast, but I was very frustrated, right? And I don't think it was frustration with them. It was more frustrated with me that I didn't follow the process that we put in place to create friction to get people in here that are really interested in what we do on offer, right? And in my mind, I'm like, wow, these people, if they do this when they're starting out, what would their relationship be down the line when we're actually starting to work together? So I'm sharing this experience for people to hopefully, you know, see themselves in a mirror and be like, am I doing the same? Am I allowing this like things to happen because I'm chasing that customer? And, you know, hopefully make you rethink a little bit of how we're doing it. So now we need Alicia coach mode. Based off of that, how can people, you know, or us also, like, improve on that part of the process? I knew I screwed up from the very beginning. I was like, why am I doing this? And it's like, you know, bad habits that might, you know, still be there.
Yeah. So, I mean, what you're talking about is something that so many people experience, and they experience when they're in the client relationship too. Mm-hmm. So somebody will ask something not knowing that it is violating a boundary or that it is an extra favor. And the person will say, yeah, I'll do it. And they don't tell them, I'm making an exception. It's so important to say, look, I usually don't do this. However, if this is the only time that you can meet, I will get a sitter and I will come and meet with you. And you bet your ass they would have showed up, or they would have told you that they're not going to come because they wouldn't want to do that to you, but they didn't know.
Yeah.
So people do this a lot whenever somebody asks something out of scope. They'll do the out of scope thing that the client's asking for, and they don't tell them, well, this isn't included in what we're doing, but I'm going to do it for you. And then they get really resentful. And then the client's like, why are you resentful? I didn't know. Because they keep asking stuff that's out of scope because you keep saying yes. So it's so important to communicate and let them know, I'm going to do this for you as a special thing. And moving forward, this would be the investment.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. I like that. That is communication is key for everything, right? Not just this sales environments, relationships, everything. I have my own example of that. Yeah, which, you know, actually somebody that became a client and I defined very clearly, you know, this is what we're going to do. It was mostly on a coaching session, kind of like 1 hour calls per week that we're having. And inside of those calls started arising like, oh, well, like I need to do copy for this. It's like, can you help me with that? And stuff like that. and I didn't communicate it. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, sure, I'll help you with that. Eventually it got out of hand and I'm like, no, this is horrible. What am I doing here? Right? But she now expected a lot of those things because I never said like, hey, look, this is not in the scope of what we, you know, agree upon. I might do it this one time for you, but on the next one, either we're going to have to charge you or we can help you find somebody that can do it for you. Right. And yeah, that created a lot of friction in that relationship. So communication. Now, Alicia, I'm very curious, right? My brother, the previous question that he asked was kind of like, how do we get so those 8 of 10, conversations are positive? And we talked about having those filters in place, right? Having those forms. I'm curious, and, you know, in the words of Phil Jones, I don't know if anybody knows who that is, but he says conversations create opportunities, right? And I'm very curious on how do you in your world create opportunities to, so then you have those 8 people out of 10, you know, be a good fit when you're having those conversations. How are you creating those conversations?
You're talking about lead gen.
Yeah, lead gen.
Okay. So I find that networking is what helps me the most, and also a workshop. So a lot of sales experts say that they're different, but they're not. And so there's a lot of skepticism around me saying that I'm different.
Yep.
So what works really well for me is to have a live workshop where people come and I, you know, let them know the foundation of the, if it's a fit, it's a fact, and, you know, dispel some myths. Yeah. And then another thing that a lot of people do wrong is they aren't talking about the result of their thing. Mm. They're just talking about their thing. So, for example, if you guys were like, yeah, we repurposed your content across lots of social media platforms, nobody cares about that, right?
Yeah.
But if you're like, we make you visible consistently on all the platforms in front of your ideal audiences, everybody wants that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. With only an hour a week or something like that could be also added in. So I do this live with someone. I'll be like, tell me what you do. And then I'll connect it to the result right there. So they have the experience and they're like, oh, she's actually not, you know, lying like everybody else. So that works really the best for me. Mm-hmm. I don't really like cold outreach.
I mean,
if I'm talking to somebody and they're expressing that they've got an issue with sales, I'm like, well, you know, that's what I do. Do you want to, you know, have a conversation about it?
Yeah.
I can help you with that. That's usually how I do it, is like, that what you're saying is exactly what I solve. So like, do you want me to solve that with you?
Yeah. And the way you're getting people into your ecosystem, to put it away, since you're not doing cold outreach, is through your content?
Yeah. Through my content and a live workshop and networking. And That's pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I remember having, you know, our kind of coordination podcast conversation, right? And, you know, I think we align a lot because you do a lot of the networking, you go to events, you do this. And then as you were telling me this story in my head, I was like, wow, we kind of do that with our show, right? Like our podcast, like since like episode 21, right? Because the first 20 were me and Fonzie babbling about marketing that we didn't know anything about. It has been about connecting and the relationships, and then finding a way that we can collaborate. And that sometimes means that that person becomes a client, or we provide an opportunity for them, or they provide a referral for us, and so on. And it has been incredible, to the point that it helped us launch a business that we were trying to launch for 3 years before the launch of the show, right? And he helped us hire team members and grow, and opportunities like the studio now. So, you know, that networking doesn't necessarily have to be in person groups inside of your city or events, right?
No.
Exactly. So could you give us some examples on your side, what has been some of the most successful relationships, right, that you've been able to generate through networking? You know, has that come through people that, you know, engage with your content, or you collaborate with on podcasts or in person? Like, you have a champion client, and then kind of walk us through kind of that flow that you did with them?
Yeah, I think what works really well for me is like, so for a long time, I would network virtually more than anything. And it would be like, oh my gosh, I really like you, and I guess I'll see you never. Bye. Like, how do you see each other again? Just have like one individual networking calls with everybody once a month. I mean, your time would be completely taken.
Yep.
So I created a monthly mixer that's invite only. And when I meet someone really cool, I'm like, look, I don't invite just anyone to this mixer. Okay. Okay. We get together. It's a black sheep party. And we're going to lift each other up and we're going to celebrate each other. And it's talented, smart as hell people who are pretty inappropriate and sweary. And you seem like you'd fit in. And they're like, okay, cool. And so in that call, once a month, I'm able to say, hey, this is the space I'm providing. It's a safe space. We're going to do a little exercise and whatever. And what qualifies me to lead this conversation? Just to remind you, here's what I do. If you know anybody, let me know. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, since I've started doing that, people will refer people to me because I'm top of mind, basically. It's easy to forget. But like if you're always interacting pretty consistently with somebody, then it when somebody brings up that they have an issue, it's a lot easier to say, oh, let me put you in touch with so-and-so.
Ah, oh, so good.
I like that. I like the special mixer. I'm not going to lie. My mind went to what a great idea for Content is Profit. We were actually just having a conversation on nurturing the relationships that we develop through the podcast. I'm like, how valuable it would be having a mixer of the guest of the show, right? Like do it once a month and then have those month guests come in together. And then you can have other guests from previous episodes maybe come in as well and chime in. And then you have this networking on how to turn your content into profit. You just blew my mind. That is amazing. That's a great strategy right there.
I love it. My mental process right now is like, do we put it very like content focused or is it like purely recreational, like, you know, for personality based? Like, are we having fun in this mixer, right? And it's more of the relationship side. Hold on. But I'm not asking you, dude. You have time to talk about this. I'm asking Alicia. So what is your recommendation, right? Like, because I, you know, we've been in places where it's like the mixer is all about like the value and it's like very business focused or content or whatever like the topic is. And there's other ones that are, purely fun. Like we're all part of this industry where we're doing something different that is not maybe connected to the industry, right? Like it's more like connecting at a personal level. So what do you recommend? Like what are you doing those mixers or have you changed the strategy around that?
Yeah. So I'm a black sheep. And I recommend anyone else to embrace their black sheepness. So it's kind of whatever is going to feel good to you. Because I think if you guys feel really good about it, everyone else is going to feel really good about it. So I like it to be fun, but also something that's going to bring value. Like my only goal from those calls is for everyone to leave feeling amazing. That's all I want. And so I could, like today, it was actually today before this podcast. We focused on creating our own luck because of St. Patrick's Day. Mm. So I was like, I want everybody to think about a time when they thought that they were really lucky and what were the circumstances leading up to that?
Yeah.
And how can, and what would make you feel lucky if it happened this month? Because there's a lot of really smart people in this room with connections and experience and let's make some luck happen. And so it was just kind of like, it's like fun to get people to shift their mindset a little. I like that stuff, right? So that was my goal from it. For yours, it might not always be about content. Sometimes mine's about messaging and sales.
Yeah.
A little exercise. I always ask everybody, like, what would y'all like? Would you like this? Because I want them, if it's not valuable, they're not going to show up.
Yeah.
And I encourage connections. Like if you guys, you know, connect with each other outside of this, you know, lift each other up. There could be business from it. There could be friendships. Like let's just see what we can do. Like it's cool people together.
Yeah. This is more on a structure basis and I feel like I'm digging too deep into this, but do you go into teaching moment at first and then do you do breakout groups? Everybody talks or is always everybody in one kind of like one room and you are telling, all right, it's your turn, you talk.
So today I was like, if you feel inspired, like raise your hand. So it didn't have to be everybody. And I always want to know everyone's takeaways at the end. So yeah. I will say that. But once it grows bigger, I will have to do breakout rooms and then we'll come back and do takeaways.
Got it. Makes sense. How big do you think is too big where people, you know, stop being kind of like that person? Because I think the value of this is that you keep it as like, hey, look, this is my secret mixer, you know, and you are invited. You just want to take it for it. But I feel like because I've been to some that I go in and then I see a whole bunch of people and rather than opportunity or enjoyment, I see more, oh, this is just a hidden pitch, right? They're just trying to, you know, run some sort of webinar here and then, you know, kick us to the curb. So I'm curious if it's like the side or even if it's big, depending on how you're running it. How are you looking at this?
I think that as long as I bring in the right people, which I'm very like particular about who I'm inviting, and as long as I run it a certain way, I think that it, and if somebody comes in and compromises that culture in some way and starts pitching, I'm going to like not invite them.
Get back. The boot.
Yeah.
You're out of here.
Clearly we're not that cool. We haven't been invited. Saying.
Well, it's kind of all women right now too, and I didn't mean it to be, but
I'm messing with you. I'm messing. I like, you know, we throw people under the bus and shit.
He does.
What happens?
He does.
That's what happens. No. It's okay.
You probably would be great fits if y'all are cool. I mean, sometimes we talk about women things, not like we're talking about
notes.
Our time of the month or anything. But
I'll take notes. I'll probably improve my relationship with Katie.
You're right.
I got great input on, you know, girl things. I remember, this is totally off topic, but when I broke up with my ex-girlfriend, I actually had, this is going to sound so weird, I had a girl's night. You remember with the three friends? And they're like, you know, we're going to have pizza. You can come over if you want. I'm like, I'm heartbroken. Pizza sounds great. And, you know, I just joined, and it was a great conversation, great support, you know. So I got you.
I love that. So, actually, I know a lot of women who, like, advertise it there for women, and it's funny because they get a lot of men. And I think that men feel like it's, like, a safer space, kind of.
100%. 100%. Yes.
100%.
Yes.
I love that.
Aja, by the way, if we're not a fit, it's totally okay. But, I was just messing with you.
Don't feel obligated.
Yeah, don't feel obligated. Okay. But I'm super, invitation. Revoked.
Luis, you know I love you. We went to Disney World together.
I know.
I love that you're I love the perspective of Venezuela compared to living here. There's like a lot of deep stuff there that I'm.
We had a good conversation. Hey, you know, walking around Disney, having conversations is really good. but Alicia, no, I'm super excited, man. Thank you so much for the roadmap. You know, I'm going to do a quick recap, right, as we're approaching the end. And it's, you know, I put a title here, you know, how to close 80% of your sales and avoiding the hidden pitch. Working title. But, but you know, in my head, as you were sharing these stories, it's like, how do we create enough experiences ahead of time to when the right person comes to that specific moment where we have to present them our offer? It's an absolute yes. And what you said is, if it's a fit, it's a fact, right? And I'm like, wow, that's super exciting, because now we can map it out in our journey where it's like, what are these experiences that we're putting out to people that doesn't necessarily have to be for content? It could be like based on personality, on these questions that we're asking ahead of time. I'm like, obviously people that we want and love to work with, right? We've all had the experience of those clients that we accepted because of just the money. And then the experience is just like, oh, right. We just had a meeting earlier this week with one of those clients that we're like, we don't mind if they don't come record here anymore. right. And it's okay. Right. It's somebody that we inherited, and hopefully, you know, we continue to help and improving the conversation and work on the relationship 100%. But we've all had those experiences. So again, how do we craft the experiences ahead of time, you know, from the front end of our content, right? From little things like, how does it feel? How does it look like? How does, like, the flow of it? Like, are people really enjoying it? To the connection calls, to the mix-ups, to the Q&As, to all these things that lead eventually to where, like, if it's a fit, is a fact. That's in my head what's working, right? And what's doing it. And thank you so much for clarifying it, because a lot of people think there's no steps before the sales call. And then we get to that sales call, and then we're scanning through LinkedIn, and we're like, what do they do? What do they do? What is the thing that they do?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, at least you're researching. Some people don't even research. They just show up on the call.
Exactly. It's like, so how do we connect it? I thank you so much for opening up your kind of your flow and your system. And, you know, I would encourage every single person to connect with Alicia here. I'm going to put all the links right below of her social media. Go stalk her.
Yeah.
Be like, we have been invited but to the mix up from the Beast Bros. And,
I am curious. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Alicia.
Well, there's a couple things that I didn't share. So now that you're like thanking me for being really transparent, I'm like, well, I guess I should share more. In the live workshop that I do, I actually point people to a paid sales deep dive, like a $97 deep dive that's usually $500. Mm. And people feel so much more comfortable booking that than a free call. And in the call, I create something for them. So they get an experience of what it's like to work with me because it's a really different experience. It's like very collaborative and I create something with them right there. So they leave with it. And then I can say, you know, is this the kind of support that would be beneficial to you? Would you want to talk about that? Mm. You know? And so that has worked really well too. And then also there's some, when somebody books a call, it makes a huge difference to send them information before the call that's going to kind of educate them. So you don't have to, if you're educating and selling in a call at the same time, it's too much. That's what leads people to say like, oh, like I got to, this is a lot to process. I got to think about it. You know, they have to wrap their brain around the idea.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For example, one of my clients, he does SEO, but he's like kind of getting away from SEO because SEO is changing completely. You know him, it's Jason.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like not going to be about ranking on Google because people are going to go to AI instead of Google. They're going to ask AI, hey, give me the best person for blah, blah, blah. And AI is going to give you that result based on how many times somebody's mentioned associated with that. So it's about consistency across, you know, all of the websites message, that matter. That's a lot of education to wrap a new client's brain around. Yeah. So sending something ahead of time that shows the difference, like instead of you having to go to Google and research 10 links, you're going to ask AI and it's going to tell you who the right person is. And it doesn't have anything to do with you ranking for the top keyword. Yeah. So sending that video ahead of time is going to allow somebody to come to the conversation and they don't have to explain that. They can just talk about doing it for them and how cool that is. So if you have like things that usually come up as objections or like things they're confused about or whatever, you can send those as really short videos ahead of time. And it's going to make a massive difference in shortening the time for someone to say yes.
Interesting. So good. Do you ask yourself kind of like, what are the micro steps they need to take before this call? Or what are the questions that they may already have before this call, and then you create those individual pieces of content that you send them to prime them for the conversation?
Yeah, it'll be taken from the calls that you have. So you'll find that you have to explain something a lot, right? So for me, I have to explain a lot how I'm actually different. Because people are like, you know, thinking they're just talking to a regular sales expert or whatever. So I send my 10 commandments, my 10 black sheep sales commandments ahead of time. And I ask them, does this feel aligned with you? If not, let me know. And I'll put you in touch with someone who could support you in a better way. And so people come to the call knowing, okay, wait, she's actually different. This is her philosophy. Instead of me sitting there having to like go through my philosophy, I can just talk about their situation.
Yeah. Makes sense. You know how I know you're a black sheep and you're different? Because you didn't show up.
Because my name's black sheep?
I mean, yeah. But I say, because you didn't show up with a headset.
Oh, like, I feel like
you know the sales experts just wear the headsets, like, and they got a little voice from that concert. That it's like a very particular kind of like audio frequency.
I feel like you'll get a kick out of this story. So when we first started our agency, like for 2018, something like that, I had the job in the gym. And we're like starting to like outreach to these restaurants and local businesses to see if we could go record content there. Fonzie had no job at the time except the agency. I'm like, okay, today is going to be outreach day. Fonzie, here's a list of all the restaurants in Jacksonville. Give him a call, see where can we stop by, right? And I go off to my job. And he was sitting in his room with a headset, with a microphone. It was like a gamer set, right? And, you know, I come back after a full day. We're like, sweet, man, how many appointments? Like, where are we showing up? And just like, I made 2 calls.
I dread the call calling. I dread a call calling.
He paced all over.
Man, everybody dreads it. It's horrible. I mean, I'm not a fan. If somebody likes it, they're a unicorn and they're very valuable and pay them well.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love it. I love the assets ahead of time. Like the video. Do you filter them also if they haven't consumed that? For example, like if they haven't seen the video or read the guide, like they show up and be like, oh no, I haven't seen it. Like
it depends on the volume that you have. If you have a large volume, you can definitely put that in place and say, can you respond back and let me know that you saw the video? And I've helped clients create that process when they're using paid ads.
Yeah.
And I, otherwise, like unless people were coming and being like, no, I didn't see that. And you still have to go through all this stuff with them. Then at that point, if you get that a lot, then I would like put some sort of step of friction in, but
awesome.
Not at first. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
I feel I'm ready for a test. Good. I'm like, give me a call right now.
I think we have to look at our process and be like, there's not enough content ahead of time. Like, you know, when you were mentioning, it's like, what is different about us that, you know, that we have to explain a lot, right? Like the presentation that we had at Cap Show, it's like the six levers. That's something that we touch every single time on production side. Whenever we have people here in live studio, whenever we talk on the agency side, on the pipeline platform, same thing, right? And it's also to understand kind of like where they're at, right? There's some people that might not know much about content, that they just consume it in a way, right? But then they don't know what's like behind the tip of the iceberg, right? Or under the tip of the iceberg. It's a ton of stuff that goes into it, right? So I love this conversation. I think we're just scratching the surface on stuff like this. Aisha, where can people go and learn more about you and fill out your forms and go to your mixers? How can they connect with you?
Well, the mixer is invite only, and the $97 sales deep dive is not advertised or published anywhere publicly. I do have a sales level up call, but the first thing that I would do is go to my podcast, Sales is Not a Dirty Word, and listen to the episode about how to sell like a natural. And if that feels like it aligns with you, then it's probably, it's a good sign. It's a good sign that you would thrive with my approach, the Black Sheep Sales Method.
So, so cool.
I like what you did there. I really like it. I'm like, listen to this specific episode. That is a hidden golden boulder right there. You know, have that one specific resource. Also, you're getting them to know your personality when they tune in. They probably will listen to more episodes of your podcast, get nurtured. Then they're like, you know what? Alicia is the best. Let me give her a call.
Uncovering the secrets, Fonzie.
Next thing you know, you're sharing your deepest secrets here with Alicia. That's awesome. Yeah.
You guys, if you're listening to it, go to the YouTube channel. She's definitely blushing right now. That happens. No, Alicia, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
We're extremely grateful that, you know, you were able to share this with us and the people that tune into the show. I think, like, you know, for people that create content, they think the content is going to be doing the selling. Yes, at some point, you know, it will help you get there, but it's also necessary to have these conversations and choosing the right people to work with, especially if you are a service provider, right? That it's going to be a lot of time and resources and mental capacity that you're going to be spending time with them, right? I'm super excited. Thank you so much for coming to the show. Is there anything else that you want to add before we head out?
No, just thanks for being awesome, guys. This was lively. It felt like a party.
Let's go.
Let's go. That's the vibe. That's the vibe we're going for. We succeeded.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. The foghorns. It's so funny.
Fonzie, anything else that you want
to? Thank you, Alicia. I feel more confident to take on conversations. Usually I just send them to my brother. I'm like, you talk to that guy. He likes to talk. So thank you so much.
I do. I think sometimes I talk way too much.
Well, you know, I can help both of you with both of those things. That's what I do.
That's right.
Let's go. Is that a secret invite to a mixer? No kidding.
Wink, 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 wink.
Okay.
Guys, with that said, thank you so much for tuning to the Content Profit Podcast. Go ahead and follow the show in your favorite podcasting platform and on social media at BizBrosCo.
That is Ryan and Alicia here. Hope you close 80% of your conversations. Please don't forget to share this episode. And, of course, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. See ya.
Bye, guys.